She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. This show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies, true leaders in the business of sustainability, and we thank them for their ongoing support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you're ready for another great show about a program doing good things for the planet. You will not be disappointed with this show today. Cross my heart. Our show today is called From Boat Deck to Dinner Table, and our very exciting, knowledgeable, enthusiastic, and I might add, very fun guest is TJ Tate. She is the Director of Sustainability for Gulf Wild, Seafood with Certainty. It's a nonprofit conservation-based organization supporting U.S. commercial fishermen operating in the Gulf of Mexico. And I had the pleasure of hearing TJ present at the Monterey Bay Aquarium Sustainable Foods Institute earlier in the year. And yes, she really did wow us, or I would not have invited her to be a guest on the show. As soon as she was finished, I went up to her. I said, TJ, would you be a guest on my radio show? So here she is. Welcome, TJ, and so glad you could be with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm honored and just thrilled to be here. It's been a long time coming since we first spoke in May, and I'm really glad to be on your show. Thank you so much.
And we have a lot of really great content to share that people either care about and don't know enough about or don't know enough about. So that's one of the major, the focus for the show is to educate people about the important work. Before we get on with the show, drum roll, please, because Mrs. Green's World has an exciting announcement. We're doing our fifth annual Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge, and it'll officially launch on Monday, October 6th. We'll accept submissions through 12 p.m. on October 17th. Voting starts on the 18th and runs through 12 p.m. on October 24th. And here's the deal, folks, if you're listening. If your business is committed to sustainable practices, if you know a business that is committed to sustainable practices, this is all about putting the spotlight on them. It's a contest that our team gets very excited about every year. Our sponsors get excited about it. If you know companies that are reducing, reusing, and recycling, get your applications in, get them to them, send them a link, and then once you get on that website, you get your tribe engaged. You get your employees, your family members, your friends to vote, because we have a judges contest. We have really experts in sustainability from around the state getting ready to make the judges' choice, and then we have a People's Choice Award, and it's really fun to see those numbers go up. So let's raise the voice of green, celebrate good green business practices. It's just a way to support wonderful things happening in Arizona. MrsGreensWorld.com. You can't miss the icon, to be honest, and let the green fun begin. So everybody, now let the green fishing fun begin. And it's going to be all about TJ. And it's truly fascinating to me. And I never say anything on the show that I really can't back up. So let's start with some information about Gulf Wild and its commitment to following what I believe are the highest standards supporting U.S. commercial fishermen operations in the Gulf of Mexico. Tell us about your agency.
Well, first, again, thank you so much for having me on. And second, I'll say it's definitely not all about me, even though I'm the one talking on the show today.
You're
it's
a good
all about my fishermen.
Yes, yes.
And the fishermen that I work with, I have been honored and blessed to work with some of the most innovative and courageous and conservation-minded fishermen, I think, anywhere in the world. They're all multi-generational fishermen from the Gulf of Mexico. And if you really think who the real conservationists are, it's the fishermen. And the reason why is because that's where they make their living. So they see the changes on the water. They see the changes in the marketplace, what the consumer is demanding. And if they're not responsible for taking care of the place where they work and live and eat and breathe, they're not going to have a future for themselves or, you know, for the next generation of fishermen. So they're really the first ones to come to the table and say, hey, we're seeing changes in this fishery. Hey, we're seeing changes in, you know, in our catch rates. We're seeing changes with bycatch. How do we address this? What do we do? And so that really sparked a conversation around the table with these fishermen of, if we're seeing these changes, how do we tell the consumer that? How does the consumer know that we care and that we care enough to give them not only high-quality seafood, but responsibly harvested seafood? And through all of those discussions, the Gulf Wild brand was born. And so we launched in 2010 on the heels of the hurricane that came through, or the oil spill that came through. I apologize. We've had a lot of destruction and and habitat issues.
Was it
in the
hurricane or the oil spill? It's like, yes.
Well, we've had both.
Yes, you have had both. A lot of devastation in that part of the country.
And it is. And that really sparked, again, the conversation about conservation and how do we protect this delicate resource and at the same time share with the consumer that, one, our seafood is safe to eat after all these devastating events, such as an oil spill and
right.
hurricanes, and that we are being mindful of what we take out of, you know, our oceans.
So can I ask you something before you go on? Because not everybody understands what, explain to people, like, for example, what is bycatch? You know what I mean? It's not a common word for the consumer. So when you say they're watching their bycatch, what does that mean?
Bycatch would be any type of fish or species that they catch when they're out fishing that's not what they meant to
right,
catch.
Right, okay.
So if they were going out to catch red snapper, which is one of the iconic fish in the Gulf of Mexico,
right.
and let's say they caught a small coastal shark, that shark is bycatch. We
okay.
don't want to catch that. My fishermen don't want to catch that. They will go to extreme lengths not to.
Okay.
But there are other species that they might catch, such as a mango snapper, which is delightfully edible.
Right, and they're happy when they see that.
Well, it's not what they've targeted, but they
right.
don't want to have to throw it back because they don't want waste. So one thing that, and I'll get into this later, but one thing the program has done is to educate the consumer on what bycatch is and create a market for it.
Okay.
So that they don't have to throw it back, that they are able to bring it back to the dock, and we are able to put that into the marketplace and put it on your dinner table, which before, you know, the consumer might go, no, I just want the red snapper. Well, the mango is just as good, and if we've caught it, we want to sell it to you so that we don't have to throw it back and it becomes, you know,
waste in the ocean.
Catch.
Yeah. Okay, so you talk about, you said in there, I would like you to go into a little bit of detail about, you know, I wanted to say it just like this, how do you trace fish? But seafood traceability is one of your, I would say, signature calling cards, and it's a very complex, thorough system. Can you talk about how that all is done? Seafood traceability.
It's a big, broad topic, right?
Big.
And it hits the consumer when they go to the grocery store and they see these different tags and stamps and seals of approval, you know, to when you go to a restaurant and they have different markers on their menu and it makes you ask, well, it's kind of been ingrained in us to now see little QR codes even on tomatoes to
right.
know what farm
right.
it came from
right.
and a lot of organic produce to be able to know where that came from. It's the same idea or same concept with fish. It's just a little bit more difficult because, you know, the fish are out there swimming around. You can see a tomato growing in the field. You can't see anything that's actually under the water unless you're going to get in and start swimming around with them.
which I would which not put past you.
It makes it a challenge. And I've definitely done my share of scuba diving, that's for sure.
Right.
But what we have created is a traceability system. It's called the Transparency System. And it traces from where they catch the fish. So our captains are extremely stealthy in the way that they fish. They know what they're doing. They know what they're targeting. And so we pinpoint it down to a 10-mile grid in the Gulf of Mexico of where they catch that fish. We can't give away their secret spots, right?
Right, right.
And a tag is placed on that individual fish. So this is a tag that you can see on our website that has, we call it a social security code. So it's its own sequential number. And that number will follow that fish all the way to the end consumer.
It blows me away. I mean, it does.
When the fish is landed, it receives the tag with its own social security number. That is then entered into our transparency system, and it gets all that good information that people think is really cool and that they've never known about before. You know, who is the captain that caught it? Where did they catch it? How was it caught? Some people really want to know if it was line caught, you know, what type of gear, what kind of hooks were used, what kind of bait was used. People can even find that information. Some folks just want to see a picture of the captain and go, that's really cool. He caught my dinner. And
they have a need to know, and you have a way to tell them.
Exactly. And so people can get as involved in it as they want. You know, with the tags, people can go on and tell us how many times a week they eat seafood, if they care that it's responsibly caught. They can get really in-depth with it, you know, and want to be a part of the process. Or they can just look for the tag. As we say, if it doesn't have a tag, it's not Gulf Wild. And so we can't tell you anything about that fish unless we put that tag on it. And if we do, then you know how it was harvested, all those good things, and that it's based on conservation principles, which is the whole other leg of our tree, if you will.
Which I think is important to, we will definitely get to that. I want to read this quote, which I thought was wonderful, and I may have taken it off your website, one of the places I visited. When you see the Gulf Wild brand, excuse me, you're getting the very best. With unrelenting demand for high quality and traceable seafood harvests that don't harm our precious oceans for future generation, fish that carry the Gulf Wild brand ensure the highest standards of seafood integrity have been met. From the sea to the kitchen, from the fisherman to the chef. So let's go into that a little bit. That's perfect about the, first of all, I want to know, have you seen, you said you started in 2010, it's 2014, an increase in demand from the consumer and from the chefs for high quality, traceable seafood? Is that really where it's trending?
It is. It is. It's a trend not just with our program, you know, but from other fishermen across the country who are doing great things to protect their resource. But when we started, we had one distributor and about three fishermen. Now we have 30 distributors and we have 42 boats in the program.
Wow.
So not only has it grown tremendously, but our distributors are calling us saying, you know, we want the product because it is quality. They can tell the story. They have that assurance that it is what it is. You know, if they want red snapper, they know they're getting red snapper. And some of these fraud issues, you know, that have kind of been surrounding the seafood arena, if you will. And so there is the supply and demand. And the really cool thing is that the fishermen are really proud of what they're doing. So we're asking them to make some changes on the water, which we'll go into that conservation side. But, you know, when you get a fisherman, most folks have never met a commercial fisherman. They have no idea what it's like on a commercial fishing boat. And you get some of these guys, they'll look themselves up on the website and go, hey, that's me. One guy who, he walked into a restaurant and he looked up and he said they had written on the chalkboard the tag number. And he looked it up and he goes, I caught that. That's really cool.
Kidding.
This is my fish. And
how fun and is that? Oh, my gosh.
They're taking pride in it.
Right.
And it's a really cool thing to see the whole process, you know, from the, we call it boots on the deck change, from the fisherman all the way forward.
And what I want to ask you, because I've had some other guests on the show, a really good friend of mine that lives out here is a guy named Dr. Rafe Sagarin, and he works at Biosphere too. And he's done work on the in the Baja, okay,
mm-hmm.
So in that side. And it's not the same story, you know what I mean? There's reluctance on the part of fishermen. There's not as much awareness. They've overfished, and
yep.
They're working really hard to educate the fishermen about habitat devastation, and then you're done. With the fishermen that you've worked with, has it been a struggle, a great partnership, a journey? Tell us a little bit about how that evolved.
I think a journey is a really good word. And, you know, we had those key innovators that I mentioned in the beginning, and they just jumped on board and they said, we want to do this. This is the path of, you know, seafood today, and
right.
we need to tell the story. We need to make a change. But then you bring it to more of the masses, and that's where you go past that tier level of innovators, and you get to the more of the real hardcore fishermen that go, you want me to do what?
Yes.
And you want me to, you know, make changes in the way I fish? You want me to put tags in things? And they're thinking, okay, bottom line.
Right, Understandably.
What is this going to do to affect their output of fishing? And, you know, and there were some guys that threw up their hands and said, we don't want any part of it. And that's fine.
Right.
You know, the goal is not to, I always tell people we want to, if we can change one fisherman's attitude one at a time,
right,
we've made a significant difference. And it might just be a small change. It may be that we get them to try a different hook, and that hook might mean that they don't catch that sea turtle.
Right.
That's awesome. And the one guy then has, you know, he's one captain with four guys on his boat. That boat buys bait from the bait store that employs 20 people. They're learning about it. That bait store is buying ice from another place that, you know, employs 20 people. And then that trickles on down the line, not just from the education, but the conservation side of it.
So you're converting people in what I would call a really authentic way. If forcing people doesn't work anyway. So if you have willing partners that are open to the education, and obviously you do, given the growth of 42 boats today, it is an investment in their future indeed. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about this, TJ, and I never want to put anybody on the spot, but this is from my personal journey. Without bashing any other brands, can you tell people, buyer beware, because there are other brands out there that have trademarks and certifications that might not be living up to the standards that you are. So what should they be looking for? It's really important to me because I've gotten duped on Mrs. Green. It dupes Mrs. Green, and I put a link up on my Facebook page, and people say, don't you know this and don't you know that? So are there other brands, or is it really something consumer, beware, and read and know what you're buying?
I think in today's day and age, and, you know, I've been duped too. So it's not just you.
I know, it feels pretty awful.
Sustainability all day, and it does. It feels terrible. But if I think you're like me, you want to expect the best out of everybody, and so you think you're getting what you're asking for. You're getting what you think you're buying, and in today's seafood world, most folks really are trying to take that next step in working to have full scale accountability for what they're doing. There still are a lot of fisheries, like you mentioned, in Mexico that are in a lot of trouble. We actually have a PhD student who's down there working on our behalf right now, which is great to help educate those fishermen. But
right.
back to the seafood question, I think part of it is that the buyer has to educate themselves. And, you know, that takes a little bit of time. But, you know, when the first organic movement came out, you know, there was organic coffee, there were organic greens,
right.
and everybody went, huh, what, okay, just because it says organic, we're going to take it. And now most folks know, I want to buy, at least I do, I know where what farms I want to buy from.
Exactly, and it's got to be USDA certified. I mean, there's so many things, and I just have to say this, we're going to have to take a break, but you can't miss your tag. I hope that people will go to your website, My Gulf Wild. I mean, it's beautiful. I know you have one that's going to be popping up here soon, but it's just really, you cannot miss it. It's like a little tag that you put on your clothing, only it's on your fish. And it's really,
exactly,
you cannot
exactly.
miss it. So we are going to have to take a break. Everybody stay here with us. TJ Tate has lots more to share about Gulf Wild and the wonderful things they're doing to make sure that there are fish to catch, that there are healthy fish for us to eat. And we can talk a little bit about the surprising facts I found out about you don't just have to live in their area to be able to get these great, healthy, sustainably sourced fish. So stay here with me. We've got lots more good stuff to share. There, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine. It's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines. It gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
Find everything you need for your next adventure at Bookman Sports Exchange. Buy it new, buy it used, or trade up and go where you've never been before. Explore this big backyard we call Tucson. Bookman Sports Exchange has the gear you need for anything from a quick day hike in Sabino to a long backpacking trip through the Grand Canyon. Bookman Sports Exchange, open daily, located on Speedway, east of Country Club. For details and more information, visit bookmansports.com.
Ready to clean out that garage? Goodwill offers you 40 convenient locations all over southern Arizona. And at every one, you'll be greeted by a uniformed Goodwill employee trained to assist you in unloading your items, prepared to offer you a receipt for your tax-deductible donation, and grateful for something you won't get anywhere else.
Thank you. Because of your donation, I have a job.
The gift of Goodwill. For a list of Goodwill donation sites, go to goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and we're giving you a lot to think about in terms of your healthy choices for buying fish. Our show today is called Boat Deck to Dinner Table, and our really exciting, knowledgeable, and enthusiastic guest, I like repeating that, is TJ Tate. She is the Director of Sustainability for Gulf Wild. Seafood with Certainty. So many, many great things about this company, and we're going to share some more. So, TJ, is this a good place to start about your commitment to conservation? What you do is so important for conservation. What do you mean by that, and why does it matter so much?
Definitely, I could talk about conservation all day.
it's the real deal. I mean, it's why it is. So we have fish left, right?
It is, and can I just go back and reiterate one quick thing?
Absolutely.
About your last question?
Absolutely,
because I want your listeners to feel informed, and I love your motto that you want them to think, and that's the whole takeaway about seafood, and not getting duped in some type of a brand.
Right.
And most aquariums throughout the country really try to do a good job in their region of helping folks weed through some of the jumble, if you will, because all the different certification schemes that are out there and different things that may be labeled on your seafood. And you don't have to be, you know, in Monterey Bay Aquarium's backyard to get information from their website.
Exactly.
Their Seafood Watch. You don't have to be in NEQA, which is the New England Aquarium. They have a great sustainable seafood program. And also, you know, the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. So use those kind of big building, brick-and-mortar places that have a staff of a team of scientists that are scouring over all the information that's out there so that you really don't have to. And I would just tell your listeners, those are great resources because there is a lot of confusion out there.
That's perfect. And I know this happened to me the other day. I was in Phoenix and I was meeting with a client and talking to them about, you know, whatever, Mrs. Green stuff. And I talked about Seafood Watch. And I said, do you ever ask where your seafood is from? This guy, I'm not kidding, TJ, he picks out of his pocket the little Seafood Watch guide.
No, he said, really.
He said, I always do. And I said, and do you know there's an app for that? And he said,
yeah, there's an app for that.
There's an app for that. So that it is remarkable and it's wonderful. I'm one of these people that loves the appropriate use of all these modern connections we can make. And you can get an app for your phone, put in the zip code, and find out about Seafood Watch, what they're saying you should eat in what parts of the country and when, because it changes. So that's
I'm
glad you brought us back to that. It's a very good point. Just know your fishermen and know where your fish came from. And maybe you could speak, since we're on that, is the reason is it is about sustainability and conservation, but it's really a big significant piece of this is eating healthy fish. People are getting sick from eating bad fish from fish farms, and that's another show. But it's like, let's talk about if you care about your health, you know, they say know your farmer, know your fish farmer, know where your fish came from.
Know where your fish came from is key. But also knowing that fisherman or a little bit about them or a little bit about how they fish, a little bit, you know, everybody doesn't want to know all the boring management stuff that goes on. But the boring management stuff that goes on that regulates our fisheries are some of the most important things to you having healthy fish. And that's one of the key things that we built our program on, is our fishermen work to get those regulations in place so that they can make sure that they were harvesting within limits, so that they weren't overfishing and harming the resource, so that they were, you know, not harming themselves, going out and fishing in bad weather and all that kind of thing. But really being able to take time to fish responsibly and carefully so that they can put that quality into the fish. And that might have to do with the way that they ice the fish. I mean, our fishermen get very particular. I remember having a discussion with one of the fishermen about the type of ice that they were going to use. And I've never discussed ice for so long with somebody. I did not know that there were eight different kinds of ice, but that all speaks to how fresh the fish can stay, how the fish can be packed, you know, for shipping, and how it's loaded in the bins in the boat. All these things that a typical consumer doesn't think about, and that's what Gulf Wild, the brand, is doing for them so that they don't have to. So that we know that that fish, when it leaves our boat, when it leaves the fish house and it lands on your plate, it's going to be that quality that you expect. And that's what the tag is saying, that we have made sure of those P's and Q's, if you will. And anybody that participates, before they're allowed to have a tag and put a tag in a fish, they have to sign what's called a conservation covenant. So this is a big lengthy document that was drawn up by attorneys and all that kind of stuff.
So, you know, it's really long and complicated.
It is. But what it boils down to is that we don't want them throwing back anything that they can keep. We don't want them fishing in ways that regulations say they can't. If we have, you know, ways that we can make them fish better, that they'll try it, you know, to see if there's a way that we can help the fishery, not catch a turtle, not catch a shark, those kind of things. And so basically by signing that document, they're saying, yes, I will. I'll take the chance that you guys are not, that you're here to help the fishermen, the fishery, and the seafood consumer. And that's what it's all about. You got to help everybody in the supply chain, or there's not going to be any fish for anybody, you know, to enjoy, from the fisherman to the consumer. And so that the fishermen really are the first step in all of this and saying, I'm going to sign that document because I want to make a difference. I want to make a change. They might not like all of it. You know, some of them, we put video cameras on our boats. Those video cameras watch what the fishermen are doing. And, you know, you ask a fisherman to do that and they go, what? Well, I don't want Big Brother.
Does it have sound, too, because there might be a little bit of profanity from time to time. I know I've been on fishing boats. Video, okay, but sound, not so much.
we try to cut out all the sound. But the great thing is that those videos have been able to show us where there are problems. So, you know, if they're fishing in an area where they're catching a lot that we don't want to catch,
right?
We can kind of put all that math and those statistics together and and figure out how to solve the problem. Maybe you don't fish in that one area. Maybe
right.
you fish
Educate
at a different
them.
Time in that area.
Yeah.
You know, all those things that the consumer doesn't want to have to think about. But we do, and that's why we do it.
And I will tell you this, just to interject, I guarantee you, with 99% surety, there is not one person listening to this show that knew that there were 8 different kinds of ice possible for the shipping and fish. I mean, that's the kind of thing that delights me. It's like, I love finding that stuff out, and so do our listeners. It's like, wow, stuff we never thought about, and now we will. So I think it's really...
Even when you go to get, let's say, a Diet Coke, or I'm from the South, so we go get sweet tea.
Right.
And you go to Chick-fil-A, they have one kind of ice. Sonic has the best ice because they got that crunchy ice. You know, so
it's true.
It's true.
So we will go to places because you don't like the ice. I agree. I hate that. I like cubes, good, healthy size cubes. So I don't like it when it's mushy ice. So I get it, but I didn't know there were 8 kinds. So that's a great bit of information that we can put out on Twitter when we're promoting the show. So let's circle back to, I knew we were going to have a blast on this show because you had me from hello when you spoke in Monterey.
Aww.
So a commitment to conservation. Let's talk about that a little bit more because Gulf Wild is truly committed to leadership in this area. So what all is involved in that?
Well, it really starts with the conservation covenants and how we build those out. So those were created not just by the attorneys, but they were created by fishermen. Then we brought in scientists. Then we brought in some consumers. Then we brought in some environmental type partners. Then we brought in seafood distributors that all looked at, okay, if we're really going to be conservation minded, what does that mean? What would that entail? And how would that build into traceability? Does that mean we need to, you know, audit the system? Well, of course it does. We got to make sure it's working.
Right.
We
got to
make sure
right.
that the tags are really on right, that the fishermen are really doing what we're asking them to do. But it also started with a promise. So our conservation really started, and I'm just going to read it to you.
Okay, great.
If that's cool with you.
It's very cool.
It says, we promise that every fish with a Gulf Wild tag is wild caught, never farmed, and guaranteed to be from the U.S. Gulf of Mexico. We promise to provide transparent 24-hour access to the specific credentials of each Gulf Wild fish, including its species, the captain, the vessel that caught it, the location where it was caught, the port where it was landed. Most importantly, we promise to provide responsibly caught fish supported by stringent conservation measures, ensuring the integrity of the seafood you eat while protecting the Gulf of Mexico ecosystem for generations to come.
That is like, I want to ring the bell. I do. It's like there should be, you know, I just think sometimes, you know, what the heck? I'm going to ring the bell. I like it. You know, it's, I just have fun doing that once in a while because that's a really, talk about a content rich, meaningful series of impactful words. That's a big promise and it covers it all.
And it is, and we have to live it every day and we have to make sure that we're adhering to that. So that's why we've created a standards committee that has to review what we're doing. We do a lot of peer review. I've got people calling me all the time wanting to know, you know, when have you revised your conservation covenants? When are you going to add a new species? And if you add a new species to the program, what does that mean for the health of the ecosystem? What
Right.
does that mean for the health of the fishery? So it's a checks and balances at this point to keep the program robust and to keep coming back to that promise that we created 4 years ago. And make sure that we're sticking to what we say.
So is there a simple answer, and it doesn't have to be, as to why now, why it matters so much what Gulf Wild is doing, whereas maybe 15 years ago it didn't? We had a mindset of unlimited supply. Why does it matter so much now, and what encouraging words can you give us? If, you know, dangers, encouraging words, we better do this. Why now?
I think there are a couple things. One, there's this imminent threat of what people are calling food security.
Totally.
So there, we know that there's a potential when we reach, you know, that 9 billion people mark in the world, how do we feed everybody? And we can't just rape and pillage the land or the water. We have to be smart about it. And that's not just, you know, from our fishery, but that's fisheries everywhere. That's farms everywhere.
Right.
And 15 years ago, I think you were right. We just thought that the world wasn't going to grow as fast as it was, that there were plenty of fish in the ocean. And we all know now that that's not the case, because there is good science out there. There is good information. And stocks are rebuilding. Fishery stocks are rebuilding because most of them are under good management now, which is fabulous.
Yes.
That's awesome. But that doesn't mean that we can stop what we're doing. The fish is a great protein, and it's been an undervalued protein. People know how to cook a chicken. People know how to cook pork. A lot of people still don't buy fish because they don't know what to do with it. But when you're looking at this food security issue, and we're rebuilding our stocks, which means that fish populations are growing, fish are coming back, there are some good fish farms, which, again, I agree, that's another show, and I'd love to be a 10-minute guest on that.
Right. And you're right, there are some good fish farms that have ethical, sustainable practices that are very necessary. So it's not a broad stroke of they're all bad.
And I think it's got to be a combination of all of that. And there has been a fear, you know, in the world of how do we feed all these people? And traceability has become a big buzzword. Sustainability has become an even bigger buzzword.
Right.
And now our national government is looking at it. Do we need to have a national standard in seafood the same way that we do, you know, with like USDA and that type of thing? So it's really just become part of the forefront of feeding people and making sure that we still have enough to feed people 10, 20, 50 years from now.
And of course, you know, I watch all those fringe movies because I'm Mrs. Green and I want to know what the radicals are saying too. It's like, what are they saying? And, you know, you watch some of them like The Cove when they're killing dolphins and selling it as whale meat in the store. So we have a lot more level of scrutiny, I think, in the United States. But can there be too much? I don't know. We can debate that. Let me ask you this. In what your observation has been, your incredible background, this is the one I'm going to lay on you. You're a woman, and you're the spokesperson. And I don't know if I ever knew a woman fisherman, let alone what you're doing, which is the leader of the pack, in a really wonderful way. You're building consensus. You're the voice. So how did that journey start? I just have to go back to that. I had to ask you that, okay?
It started a long time ago on a boat hauling up nets, you know, for, I made $8 an hour, you know, as a grad student
trying to
work my way through. And it's just led to this evolution. And really, as much as I may be a figurehead or a faceplate or whatever you want to call me, it's the fishermen who are behind me. And
they obviously are. You wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Seriously. You're their champion. So that's major kudos to you.
Well, and I'm going to toot my own horn, which I don't know if you know, but I'm a finalist for the C-Web Seafood Champion in their visionary category.
Oh,
which
I didn't
really
know that.
Exciting.
So tell me what that is again, C-Web.
C-Web, they have a international seafood conference every year. C-Web
awesome.
Does a lot of great work. And the conference this year is in New Orleans in February. And they have a competition for seafood champions, for folks who are really making a difference in the seafood industry. And they have, I think, four different categories, from visionary to organization to I can send you the link so that you
but
can
you're
send
the
it,
visionary
you know, put a
category
shout
that's
out.
I it's another bell ringer. I'm telling you, you're just, I knew you were going to do this thing for me, ringing the bell. No, that's really what an honor. And it's every time someone says something exciting like that, I always want to be there. And don't we need to do some on-site interviewing?
Okay, February. We got a date then, girlfriend. February. We will see you in New Orleans.
Oh, my God. And I think probably if you and I got together, we might end up having someone post our bail. I'm really just kidding. So anyway, we have to
I'll get one of my fishermen there.
Right, they'll be there. They'll get us out. So everybody, we have to take a break. There is much more to share. We are interviewing TJ Tate. She is the Director of Sustainability for Gulf Wild. Seafood with certainty. We're talking all about tagging fish, their commitment to conservation. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about what you think, you know, through the looking glass. What do you see, your range of distribution, how people can find the fish that you sell, what to look for. So everybody, stay here with me. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, and I know you don't want to miss a word of this.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI clean diesel technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI clean diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
We rely on your generosity for our inventory. Homeowners, renters, contractors, and business owners keep the Habit Store stocked with building supplies, furniture, and appliances. You can drop off your donations or give us a call at 889-7200 to schedule a free pickup of items that are in good condition. Your donations means Habitat Tucson can build and renovate more homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store's hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Today, we're giving you things to think about, like the different kinds that I made notes, the nine different kinds of ice, eight different kinds of ice that fish that you can use to preserve fish in their transport. Our wonderful guest today is TJ Tate. She is the Director of Sustainability for Gulf Wild, Seafood with Certainty. We just found out she's been nominated for a SeaWeb Seafood Champion Award for being a visionary. I can attest to the fact that she is. So now that I've thoroughly embarrassed you, let's go talk about the range of distribution. And I just have to mention this. When I was doing my research, I don't know why I had the impression that it was mostly a regional distribution. And I went on the website and I saw Asbury Park, New Jersey, which is where I was born, so I had to mention that, to Seattle Fish Company in Denver, lots of places throughout the country for distribution centers. So how did that start? And then the second part of the question is, like, talk about your range of distribution and then the growing demand. Will you be able to meet the demand and maintain your very high standards? That should be the last question for the show, but I want to talk about something else at the end of the show.
We kind of handpicked the distributors that we wanted to work with throughout the country.
Okay.
Mainly for the type of work that they do. So you mentioned Seattle Fish, and I'm happy to give them a shout out because they're fabulous. They do a lot of good work. They partner with Seafood Watch, and they're members of National Fishery Institute. They're very innovative in their methods, so they were one of the people that we wanted to partner with because
right.
they care about our conservation standards. They care about the kind of seafood that they're putting out to their customers. And so we kind of to begin with, we handpick those people.
Okay.
From Fortune Fish in the Chicago area, you know, that has a very stringent sustainability code of ethic for the company. And so they kind of were the other side of the coin for the whole conservation standpoint. And now going forward, they are required, as part of the transparency system, to enter their information into our database so that we can really get a better understanding of where the seafood is going from all touch points along the supply chain, which is important from a
right.
data gathering standpoint.
Right.
But it's really about the type of companies that they are. And the more the product got out there, the more that people were saying that it wasn't only just quality, it was responsibly harvested, and it's just darn cool, that they wanted to be involved. So then people started reaching out to us, and then we had to start doing our homework. You know, what was this XYZ company
yes.
about?
Yes.
Did they meet our standards? Did they have sustainability, corporate sustainability standards in place? What did they do in the world of fishery conservation, if anything? And if you look at a list of our partners, every single one is taking some kind of extra step in their sustainability initiative, which I think is awesome because it's kind of like we're connecting the dots in sustainability.
It's an interesting concept, too, because they don't have to vet you, obviously. I mean, in my opinion, they have to do their homework and look at the standards to which you adhere, but you really do have to vet them. You don't want the analogy I can think of, something that should be a Nordstrom selling at Big Lots. I mean, that's something everybody
exactly
will
correct.
Understand. It's maintaining that standards throughout the process. And let me ask you this before I forget. You know, we named the show Boat Deck to Dinner Table. What's the average time, if you can even say this, from when the fish is caught to when it does get on someone's plate? And does that matter because of the other processes you have in place?
You know, that's a weird time frame that I really don't want to just throw out
a
number, because most people don't even realize that a fisherman can be out fishing, you know, from 4 to 8 to 11 days, and most people don't have that realization.
Right.
But all of our fish is fresh. It's not frozen. So it's packed and it's shipped out pretty much same day, if not next day.
Wow.
And then that's getting to the distributor, who is immediately doing the same thing. They're usually processing, putting in fillet form, and then getting it out to the consumer.
Right.
So it's
right.
a really quick turnaround. One thing that we do have established on our tags is an expiration date. So if somebody, for some reason, somehow got a hold of a tag and they tried to tell you that it's a Gulf Wild fish, and maybe it's an old tag that they somehow got their hands on, or an old number, it's going to pop up in the system with a great big old red flag that says expired. And it's going to say that fish is over 30 days old. And you know you're not going to want to be eating a 30-day-old fish.
That just blows me away that you can even do that. You set up a system, has your fish expired? I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm not going to ring the bell again, though. I'm just going to control myself, because it's like, it just blows me away. I mean, it's a complex carbohydrate that you have created for the planet and for conservation and for the health of the consumer. Your ultimate, you know, who's going to eat the fish matters a lot. So, yeah, kudos. Let's talk about the big dream of Gulf Wild. What's the next iteration? Not just for the healthy growth of the company. Is part of the dream the continued impact that you are having on the industry in general? People are watching what you're doing. What's part of the, you're going to be the Visionary Award winner, so what's your vision, Ms. TJ Tate?
Well, I don't know that I'm the award winner. There's some great other candidates in the category. But
I'm just putting
vision,
that out there.
Okay, just put it out in the world.
Right.
Our vision is really to be able to have a model that others can replicate. You know,
awesome.
When we first started, I thought, I want to start and have it, you know, be Gulf Wild or Gulf Atlantic Wild and Pacific Wild and, you know, all these different places. And then we realized we know the Gulf of Mexico. We know what we do because we know our fishermen, we know our waters, we know our seafood. What we then figured out is, let's go work with the guys in the Atlantic. Let's go work with the guys in the Pacific. and let's help them take what we're doing and figure out how it might work in their region. And it's a great educational process for both. You know, nobody's going to have our exact model because it's not going to work in some other region. It's not meant to, but it can be something very similar that can have just as great of impact and just as positive change for the fisherman all the way to the consumer.
It's and I think awesome. For, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say, I think the other thing is we want to add in more species. You know, we are focused on the red snapper, the grouper species, the tilefish, which most people don't even know about, and we have 20 different kinds of bycatch now, which is phenomenal. We don't have to throw those fish back.
Right.
But I get a call every other day from people saying, add shrimp, add oysters, add tuna, you know, add these other species.
Please.
And so to me, that is awesome because that means that people care, one, about what we're doing. They see that we're making a difference, and they know that if we add in these other species, that we're then going to be helping the future of those other seafood items.
And the same standards will be applied. Very heartening.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Now, in the big global picture, I know that entire species are being destroyed daily because of the temperatures of the oceans. So there are conditions that you cannot control. Have you seen much of an impact? I know one of my friends, his friend, owns one of the largest oyster farms up in the Pacific Northwest, and some of the innovation that's going on there blows me away. But entire species have been wiped out because of, you know, rising in temperature. So
yep.
What are you seeing that, or is that part of what you're watching?
You know, we're watching that right now through sitting on panels and discussions with other partners. We haven't seen it as much in the Gulf of Mexico, where we have seen, you know, more trouble with, like we talked about before, devastation due to hurricanes and the oil spill. We haven't seen the big difference yet in, you know, ocean acidification or sea temperature rise. But we are watching very closely some key species, particularly in the Atlantic, that folks are investigating to see if there's a change in their patterns. And, you know, and that would be an indicator where it kind of, you know, sets off that red light of, okay, if that's an indicator species that might be changing someplace else, how would that affect our populations? So it's certainly on our radar. It's something we watch very closely. We try to be involved in all of those discussions. But knock on wood, to date, we haven't seen that in our fishery.
And like you said, you've had some other big things you've had to deal with. I mean, it's not funny, but it's like, yeah, well, in the Pacific Northwest, it's climate change. You have other ends of climate change, whether it's, you know, global warming. I of course, believe that it is. I don't want to lie about that on the air. But you have major climate change. The better phrase for it is climate change, these severe, you know, things that are happening in our world with weather changes. It's unbelievable. So another interesting thing that I'd love to cover a little bit that I think is exciting. It is a nonprofit, correct?
Correct.
So there are things on your website which I encourage people to do. You can actually adopt a fisherman. Things like that. Are you going to continue with that with your new launch of your website in October?
We will. We're going to have some really fun features, and adopt a fisherman is something
fun.
That we were kind of playing around with, and it just makes sense. People love to see and feel that they've supported that fisherman. And what it really means is if you adopt that fisherman, they make you a video, a personal video of them out catching. We had a great partner of ours. They're called Cantonese Classic in Ohio, which is great that they're in Ohio supporting Gulf of Mexico seafood. And they were one of the first people to adopt a fisherman. Our fisherman has loved it. They went out and shot video hollering, "We only fish for Cantonese Classic, and they support sustainable seafood."
Oh my gosh, I love it!
And it was you know, fun all at the same time that it's important because we are a nonprofit, and so everything we do is about the brand, and not just sustaining the brand, but sustaining the future of our fishery. And so those fun things that we do help us do the research. They help us make sure that our conservation promise is being upheld and met, and our standard. And most people don't realize that because they think, oh, you're a big brand, and brands are all for profit, and that's not what we're about. Sure, we want to make a dollar.
Yes, everybody does. You don't want to lose money, that's right.
But we want to be very, we were very careful in deciding that we wanted to be a nonprofit so that we could do this research, so that we could work on the conservation efforts and keep it real.
I thought it was delightful when I went to that. It's like, support Gulf Wild, adopt a fisherman. I mean, how fun is that? So a restaurant could do it, a group of friends could do it. And I mean, it's really, it's to me, it's very cutting edge and very innovative. I think it, I thought it was delightful. You can serve Gulf Wild seafood at your next event. You can make a donation. You can fund a conservation cook-off. You can tell I did my homework. I was like, oh my gosh, I went down the rabbit hole. It's like, I didn't know all that when I heard your presentation. It was more about the, I guess what got me the most was when you talked about the traceability aspect. I mean, it's legend. It's unbelievable to me. To even get my head around it was unbelievable. So what else? You get the final. We're running down to the wire a little bit, and I wonder if there's anything else. We have about 3 minutes left. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover, like the great question I never asked, but I wanted to, I just forgot?
Well, I'm just going to give us a shameless plug.
So do that.
In October... I said October this time when we were talking earlier. I think I said August. In October, we are actually speaking at the South by Southwest Eco Conference. I'm moderating a panel of great folks from around the country that are coming in to really talk about this bycatch issue. I would love to send you some of the clips and sound bites so that you could send it out to your folks, because I think people would just absolutely love it. The title is called Bycatch, Should It Be Your Choice of Seafood?
What a great, so that's in October. Okay.
And in October, when that happens, at the same time, we'll be launching our new website. So we're really excited about it. We'll be launching our new tags. And our new tags, we love our tags, right, with that Social Security code. Our new tags will also have a QR code so folks can just scan it. But it doesn't just scan. Like, most people's QR code just goes to a some type of a big traceability system.
Right.
This QR code will still go back to the individual fisherman. So it's just one other way for the consumer to get right back to that fisherman. And then also the tags are going to have what's called a daughter tag. So it's kind of perforated where it can break off. So when you order that at the dinner table, you're now going to get your own personal tag.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is just, it blows my mind. It just really and truly, and I know for anybody who listens to the show, it will blow their mind too. And I, one last question I did want to get in your framework of the world in which you operate, what role, if any, I see yours as much more of a B2B kind of operation. What is the role of social media? Is there an appropriate role? Are you looking at that? Because you're really selling to businesses. So I just wonder.
But not just businesses. It's the consumer. That we want the consumer to engage.
Okay.
So we want everybody to engage because that's what's going to keep the resource renewable. And so the consumer needs to, that's why we recreated the tag, so that the consumer gets to go home with a piece of the fishery and feel like that they were a part of that process and understanding it. So social media for us is, you know, I hate to tell my age, but I think it does because I'm not very adept at social media. And
I
keep
tell
telling
my
me,
age because I had to get
the
there.
You've got the tweet. And I think it's a very important component. And for folks to get the word out, because social media is such an important part of that, I think that's a component that I know personally I have to get on top of. And it, there's no better vehicle, though, to
and
really get
I
the consumer throughout the U.S. involved.
And I think you're spot on. It's like it's the wave of the future. And the bottom line is the consumer has all the power because we're the ones that eat the fish. So
that's right.
We're the ones that buy it and eat it. So anyway, I know everybody, I hope you had as much fun learning as I did. I hope it was as delightful as a show as it was for me. TJ Tate, our paths will cross again for certainty. I'm certain. And I want to just tell everybody that this Tuesday we have another great down-to-earth show, Dr. Emma Blake, talking about the Edible Roman Empire. And next Saturday, One More Generation, Carter and Olivia Reese, two very young people that are getting the Young Superhero Award for the Earth from the Captive Planet Foundation, and they're going to talk about their new partnership with Jack Johnson. I'd love to be talking about my new partnership with Jack Johnson.
Me too.
Wouldn't we all? Okay,
yeah.
TJ, thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you.
High five to Gulf Wild, and I'm glad our paths crossed, and make it a great green day, everybody.